Hi, Diddly-ho Neighborinos, and welcome into the Week 12 edition of Sunday Best. Yes, we are making that final playoff push. I'm your host, Jay Felicio, and what you can expect is a short, quick-hitting podcast reacting to the happenings in Sunday's games. I'm not going to hit every game, I'm not going to hit every player, but what I will do is circle around the league and hit the 10 or so most impactful performances, tell you what happened, what they mean for the foreseeable future from a fantasy perspective. After that, I'll jump around the league for some quick hitters, and then wrap up with any injuries that have fantasy repercussions at the end of the show. Now, pitter-patter, let's get at her. With Josh Jacobs inactive due to a knee injury, Emmanuel Wilson got into the end zone twice, scoring 26.5 fantasy points, and headed into Sunday Night Football as the RB2 on the week. Chris Brooks played 8 fewer snaps, but only toted the rock 8 times, while Wilson handled 28 attempts for 107 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. Jacobs is expected back next week, so Wilson should slide right back to your bench, but he's proved that he's a valuable handcuff and should be rostered in all leagues as we approach the fantasy playoffs. In the words of Kevin McAllister, woof. J.J. McCarthy continues to kill the fantasy values of Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and probably would have been benched by now had Carson Wentz not suffered a shoulder injury. McCarthy threw 2 picks for the 3rd straight game and finished with just 87 passing yards. Jefferson caught 4 passes for 48 yards, and Addison gave us a big fat goose egg. He was targeted once and couldn't come down with it, which isn't that surprising considering he came into the game with a league-low 50% catchable target rate since Week 9. McCarthy should not be anywhere near a fantasy starting lineup anytime soon, and it breaks my heart to say this, but Jay Jetta is relegated to wide receiver 2 at no fault of his own. If it were just about anybody else, I'd put him as a wide receiver 3, but I can't do it considering his talent. Addison now has under 10 points in 3 of his last 5 games. Considering there's no buys in Week 13, early indications are I'll probably have Addison as a sit in Seattle. Thanks to a little trickeration, famous Jameis Winston scored 3 total touchdowns, and Wandale Robinson had the best game of his career in the Giants' overtime loss to the Lions. Robinson had 9 catches on 14 targets for 156 yards and a touchdown scored just 2 minutes into the game. It was a trick play where Winston tossed the ball to Tyrone Tracy, who was running right, lateraled the ball back to Winston, who had to okey-doke a defensive lineman to give himself just enough time to launch a bomb to a wide-open Wandale in the end zone. Wandale was involved all day, but he did most of his damage in the first quarter, catching 106 of his 156 yards in the first 10 minutes of the game. Robinson only has 2 touchdowns on the season, but is averaging nearly 9 targets a game. One of Winston's 3 touchdowns came on his first career catch, college or professional. Jameis caught a pass on another trick play, proceeding to stiff-arm a linebacker spinning out of the tackle into the end zone. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. Winston actually had 20 yards after the catch on the play. Jackson Dart probably returns next week, and Winston's headed back to the bench, but man, it has been so much fun to watch him. I truly hope he's back with the Giants next season, if not starting somewhere else. If you're in a desperate need for a flex, check your waiver wire and see if Isaiah Hodgins is available. He scored 10-plus points in both games since joining the Giants in Week 11 and got into the end zone this week. First off, happy birthday, Tyrone Tracy. I recorded this on Sunday night, which was your birthday. I didn't realize we were almost birthday buddies, with my birthday being on Tuesday the 25th. But let's get back to what you're all here for. Tracy ran for 62 yards and caught 3 passes for 68 yards to total over 100 yards in consecutive games for the first time since Week 5 and 6 of last season. He once again looked much better than Devin Singletary, and although Tracy didn't get into the end zone, he finally got a few goal line carries. He had 0 coming into the game, but got 2 of the 3 carries inside of the 10. Tracy saw all 4 of the running back targets and shapes up as a solid flex next week against the Patriots, but just be aware that the Giants have a Week 14 bye. After losing the goal line work, Devin Singletary isn't even rosterable. After throwing 1 touchdown over his last 2 games, Caleb Williams needed just 19 completions to toss 3 against the Steelers. Williams had 239 passing yards and chipped in 21 on the ground, and unfortunately did lose a fumble. 2 of the scores went to DJ Moore, who led the Bears in receiving yardage and was 2nd in targets to Rome Odunze. Luther Burden saw 5 targets as well, and Burden, Odunze, and Moore all were within 20 yards of each other, 64 for Moore, 53 for Odunze, and 46 for Burden. The rookie's growing involvement makes the Bears receivers a bit tougher to predict on a week-to-week basis, but is an exciting development for Caleb Williams. Daniel Jones fell short of 200 passing yards for the first time this season, but was able to throw for 2 touchdowns in the first half against the Chiefs to salvage a decent fantasy day. None of the Colts receivers did much of anything. Ashton Dolan actually led the way with 48 receiving yards, and none of Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, or Josh Downs managed to even hit 30. Tyler Warren caught 5 of 7 targets for 46 yards, but it was Alec Ogletree who caught one of Jones' 2 touchdowns, the other going to Michael Pittman. It was a really weird day for the Colts offense, scoring 2 touchdowns in the first half, then failing to get into the end zone the rest of the game. Indy didn't even muster a first down in the fourth quarter or overtime. Not much changes for the Colts fantasy options value-wise, but I'd say Daniel Jones scoring over 20 fantasy points against a tough Chiefs defense is reassuring for his fantasy floor. I said it in my start sit column this week, do not doubt the sun god. Amon-Ra St. Brown bounced back from his 2-catch game against the Eagles for 9 catches on 13 targets, 149 yards, and a touchdown. He became the second player in NFL history with 500 catches in his first 5 seasons, the other being Michael Thomas. Amon-Ra 6 catches away from overtaking the record from the slant boy and becoming the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Jameson Williams was back to his old tricks, catching 0 passes while being targeted thrice, coming off of 3 straight games over 16 points. J-Mo is what he is, super high ceiling, but a non-existent floor of a wide receiver 3. Kenneth Walker totaled over 100 yards for the second straight game, rushing for 71 yards and catching 3 passes for 30, but he had just 5 more carries than Zach Charbonnet, who once again vultured a touchdown. Walker did see his snap share rise for the third straight game, his first over 60% this season, so there is still some hope he could get feature back touches for the stretch run. But Charbs isn't going to go away completely, likely limiting Walker's potential sky-high ceiling if he would just get the work he deserves. The good news? Travion Henderson more than doubled Ramondre Stevenson's snap percentage, carries, routes, and had twice as many targets, totaling 81 yards to Stevenson's 10. And Henderson got the first 2 snaps at the goal line. The bad news? After getting tackled at the 1, the Patriots then tried and failed a tush push, but wind up settling for a field goal. The next 3 goal line carries, 1 went to Terrell Jennings, then the next 2 to Stevenson, and all 3 got stuffed. No matter how phenomenal Henderson has looked this season, Vrabel is dead set on getting these other backs involved, especially around the end zone. Now, Hendo did wind up with 5 goal line carries, of the other 2 combining for 6. Stevenson was in for 7 of 8 third down snaps, but Henderson handled 37 of a possible 48 early downs, and his usage with the return of Stevenson was very encouraging for his rest of season outlook. Wheels up for Hendo, baby. Let's roll along to some quick hitters. Already the wide receiver 1 on the season, JSN still turned in his best game, catching 8 of 10 targets for 167 yards and 2 touchdowns. On pace for over 2,000 yards this season, he's never going to win, but JSN definitely deserves to be in the MVP conversation. Speaking of MVP conversation, Jahmyr Gibbs played a season-high 74% of snaps, put up a made-to-order, fresh-off-the-grill, sizzling 50 burger. 55.4 fantasy points to be exact, 219 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, catching 11 balls for 45 yards, and a touchdown. He's a walking, talking, fully grown RB1 who could finish the season as the RB1. Per next-gen stats, Jahmyr Gibbs reached a top speed of 22.2 miles per hour and has 3 of the top 5 speeds by ball carriers this season. Christian Watson had a quiet game overall, but led the Packers in targets, catches, and receiving yards, catching 5 of 7 targets for 49 yards. A name you may have not heard in a long, long time, John Mechie caught 6 of 7 targets for 65 yards and his second consecutive game with a touchdown. He's averaged 16 points per game over his last 2 and may be emerging as a decent flex option as the de facto wide receiver 1 for the Jets. Lamar Jackson failed to score a passing or rushing touchdown for the second consecutive game, throwing for under 300 yards in his 3rd straight and rushing for just 11. Been a rough stretch for Lamar, but you are not benching him, and he has a great get-right spot against the Bengals next week. Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott, Eagles versus Cowboys, both had 3 touchdowns, 2 passing, 1 rushing for Dak, and the opposite for Hurts, 1 passing, 2 rushing. Dak had a little more passing yards, but did throw a pick. Regardless, both of these guys are locked in every week. QB1 must start. A week after seeing 18 targets, Michael Wilson saw 15 in week 12, catching 10 for 118 yards. He certainly earned himself a role when Marvin Harrison Jr. returns. And Ashton Jeanty nearly killed a guy. Okay, well, maybe not. But boy, did he truck stick a Browns linebacker right back to Cleveland. Jeanty totaled 108 yards of offense, catching 8 passes and scoring a touchdown. and we will wrap up with some injuries. DK Metcalf tweaked his ankle in the second quarter, but returned to the game just to re-aggravate it in the third quarter and did not return. No info for his week 13 availability. T. Higgins suffered a pretty nasty concussion and had to actually be carted off the field. He's all but guaranteed to not play on Thanksgiving. Ashton Jeanty suffered an ankle injury late in the fourth quarter and did not return. The game was out of hand, so you can't really take too much from that, but his status for next week is unclear. Alvin Kamara sprained his MCL and is likely out multiple weeks. Devin Neal takes over as a feature back for the Saints and gets a pretty juicy matchup against Miami next week. That is a wrap for the Week 12 edition of Sunday Best. Appreciate everybody for hanging out. As we roll into the Thanksgiving holiday, Start Sit is coming out a day early this week. We're going to have it coming out Wednesday, and I'm going to have a little bit of help with it this week. Christian Ottman, Brett Ford are both going to chip in and take some games, help with the workload just a little bit as a, with the holiday and my birthday. I will be back next week for Week 13 edition of Sunday Best. Same bat time, same bat channel. And as always, choose love, not hate.